reading to children, even babies, we're encouraged to do that because we know that literacy is the foundation of learning and reading is a wonderful thing. What about mathematics? Being numerate, how early should you start and do you know where to start? Here's a book chock full of practical ideas to make mathematical concepts and themes part of play, part of every conversation you have with children. It's got a rather formal sounding title, Early Mathematical Explorations, but it's wonderfully practical. Co-author Nicola Yelland joins us. She's Professor of Education at Victoria University. Welcome.
Thank you, Natasha, and it's nice to be here with you and your listeners.
Yes. Now, what compelled you to pull all these activities together?
Well, actually, it's the second edition of a book that came out in 1998 with my co-authors, Carmel Dietzman, who's also a professor of education at ACU, and an early childhood teacher called Deborah Butler. And we realised there was nothing there in 1998 for undergraduates, for teachers of early childhood and for parents. And so we put together the book, and it's been in demand so much that there was a need for a second edition. And this time we've put a bit more of the sort of ideas behind the sort of practical applications in it, especially for the undergraduates and the teachers. But we still hope it's an accessible book for parents because we believe, like you just said, that you read to children from birth, but you can actually do mathematical activities that lay down the foundations of numeracy from birth.
And you can do that while you're reading to them. But we'll get to that. And one of the keys here is creating a positivity around the use of numbers. Kids love to count. They Yes. want to do it. But one of the problems, of course, is that parents underestimate their ability to help their children think mathematically. In what ways do they do that?
Well, I mean, actually, we open up the book with a story about when I was in a school a number of years ago when the children were doing mathematics, and I said, "Oh, I love mathematics," and a little child said to me, I don't like maths, it's boring." And I said, "Oh, no, it's really cool." And they said, "Oh, well, I don't like it, and my teacher doesn't like it either." And I said, "Well, how do you know that?" And she said, "She never smiles when we do maths." And I hear stories like that, and I hear parents say, "Oh, I was never very good at maths." But the type of maths that we're talking about, the beginning processes and the big ideas of maths, are an integral part of our everyday lives. That's what it means to be numerate. So what we're saying is these things are essential, and they're a basic part of our life, and they can be fun. You know, you can count when you're going up steps. You tell the story about Goldilocks and the three bears, and you're looking at number, and you're looking at it relative to size. All these ideas are the big ideas of mathematics that help children and their parents and their teachers to become numerate in the 21st century.
Well, being numerate in the 21st century, we live in an era in some ways defined by data, flooded by data. So what do you think this means for children growing up in a world like this?
Well, it's interesting because there's a quote in the book from a researcher called Steen, and he says, you know, an enumerate citizen of today is as vulnerable as the illiterate peasant in Gutenberg's time. You know, though he also says that we live in a data-drenched society. But the interesting thing about today, you know, in the 21st century, mathematics should be very different than it was in the last century, because in the previous times, we very much focused on the concepts of, as abstract idea, and routines and processes to master them.
Yes, endless worksheets dedicated to exactly. Adding up, subtracting. You think, well, we've got calculators now, although people lament that those skills aren't happening in people's heads, that going straight to the calculating device on their phone or whatever.
But it's interesting, you know, because, you know, how, I always say, how many times do you have to add up 28 and 67 and 32 and 79 to prove you can do it? You know, the whole point is that you still have to understand the concept of addition, the big idea of putting things together to make more, you know, and the basic idea of subtraction, multiplication. Those are what we call the concepts in math. But, you know, you now don't need to do the routines. You have calculators. Now, some people have said to me, you know, what will happen if all the calculators in the world disappear? And I say, are you serious? you know, what if all the electricity goes off? I say, well, there's batteries. You know, I just don't believe in that sort of way of viewing life. In fact, you have to become fluent in the use of calculators, just like you have to become fluent in driving your car and knowing all the facilities that are available to you.
Yes, indeed. Now, it starts with all those daily routines that really begin right from the cot, don't they?
Yeah.
The meal times, the bath times.
Yeah. Well, you know, just basic things like the basic relational and positional terms in mathematics, like above and below, in and out, under and over. We've got a list of them in the book, so you can encourage that language. You might think it's literacy, but it's also numeracy. You have to know, for example, right and left, because when you do formal calculations, you have to know that, you know, the units have to be lined up and the tens have to be lined up. They have to be above and below. The operation sign goes on the left. You have to know all these formalities to survive the school system. So if you don't have that basic mathematical language, you're not going to do very well later on. And even in the bath, you're talking about things floating on top of the water, things under the water, you have water play in the pool. These basic relational and positional terms are fundamental. And then we have the big ideas, the concepts of number, data, space, and measurement. And we also have the thinking skills. You know, mathematics has a lot to offer in terms of the basic processes of sorting, matching, classifying that help you to order the world and have, you know, understanding about it and talk to others about it.
And kids love to do that. For me, it started with a button box, I think.
Yeah.
That kind of repetitive ordering and numbering and sorting and,
yeah,
you know, this
and
is
making patterns. I mean, every child loves to make patterns and thread beads and, you know, create their own patterns and talk about the patterns.
Now, but also this idea of reading to children is something so embedded, even though it's hard to get traction on that in some households. But this is important too, isn't it? This is a good way of introducing children to mathematical language, even if it's not part of the story explicitly. So, and you give lots of examples of really,
yeah,
popular kids' books that are embedded. If only you just push the story a little bit further with your child, they're embedded with mathematical ideas.
Yeah. One of my favourite books is Each Peach, Pear, Plum, I Spy Tom Thumb in the Cupboard, I Spy Mother Hubbard. And it's sort of a lovely rhyming a book, and the illustrations are incredible because you have Tom Thumb is up in a tree. It's an apple tree. You can count the apples. You can see the things below him, on the right of him. There are just so many amazing opportunities just in pictures and in children's own paintings to have conversations about that are, you know, that go to the basic core of literacy and numeracy. And additionally, these days, with some things, you know, with tablets, you have electronic books, and there's one in particular we talk about in the book about Teddy's Day, about a little girl who goes off to kindergarten and she wonders what her teddy bear is doing at home. And you read the story, and then you can open and shut the curtains. You can create an electronic picture, and then it becomes a picture on the little girl's wall in her bedroom. You can open and shut drawers and doors, and all these are wonderful opportunities for parents and caregivers to interact with children, to lay those basic foundations that will, you know, come to fruition, so to speak, to use a metaphor for later on.
Nicola Yelland is my guest this morning. She's Professor of Education at Victoria University. She's co-author of a book, Early Mathematical Explorations, and I'm glad you mentioned tablets, because obviously there's anxiety about too much screen time being bad for young children, but we have seen a proliferation of apps and games on iPads and tablets and laptops dedicated to, you know, various numerical skills. Do you think there's a stage and an age where that's appropriate?
Well, it's interesting because we're embarking in the third year of a tablet project that's been funded by IBM. And in the first year, we worked with mothers' groups with two-year-olds and some three-year-olds and kindergartens, four-year kinder in Victoria, and the first year of school in Victoria, which is the prep class. And there's a lot of literature out there that says that, you know, children should have no screen time before two. I think that's just way too harsh. I think, you know, I have a granddaughter who's 7 months old, and this morning, yesterday morning I was watching Pingu with her, and also Sesame Street. And, you know, you watch it for literally 3 to 5 minutes. And with the mother's group, with the two-year-olds, there are activities there with Lego and with, for example, Elmo, that they have watched on TV, and they might have an Elmo a doll as well, or a Dora is another one, Dora the Explorer. So from a very early age, children are having multimodal experiences. They have things in the real world, like an Elmo or a Dora doll, things in a book, which are in two dimensions, and then things that come to life on a screen. So for me, it's just a very individual decision.
Yes, you know, there's a whole spectrum of possibilities, and the tablet might just be part of it. Yeah. But I want to squeeze in chance and data, but particularly chance, because, you know, even someone like myself who's done enormous amount of maths at university, I stats seems to be the only real maths that I absolutely need day to day, and I never did it. And chance is something that you think can be talked about very early on, probability, possibilities, and it's the language we use.
Yes, and when it just, you know, for example, about the weather, I know everyone talks about the weather. I mean, what are the chances of it raining today? And, you know, we recently talked about the drought. But, you know, chance and data, especially to me, you know, if you look at the first year of compulsory curriculum, you know, in the area of the big idea of number, we want children to be able to know numbers 1 to 10 and then 11 to 20 in the first year of school. We did some lovely work with the iPad, with the prep class, who are very fluent with number, creating graphs about number and creating number stories. So the whole point about knowing number is to apply and use number. So I just think data and chance are the most exciting topics in mathematics, because children love to go around asking other people, are you right-handed or left-handed? And they take photos of their group, and then they create two axes. We talk about left and right. We talk about horizontal and vertical. We use all that, you know, the sort of official language of mathematics from 5 years old, because, you know, it becomes embedded in their vocabulary. And then they generate sentences about those. You know, isn't it interesting that we've only got 4 people that are left-handed in our group, and we've got 20, you know, who are right-handed? Why is that? And then they go off on another investigation. And these are sort of the classic examples of becoming numerate, the using the mathematics skills and concepts in everyday life.
And then the question becomes, but I need to get you back to talk about this another time, is how you translate that well into high school and beyond. This conversation about that kind of early literacy is really powerful, but then how does that translate into performance in maths later on? But we've got to go. Fantastic to have you on the show. Hope we can get you back, Nicola.
Oh, that would be great. I listened to your wonderful program last year with those two very passionate, exciting teachers, you know, maths and science in the secondary school, two wonderful young women, and I was just inspired by them.
Yes, they were great, and I might put a link to that on our Facebook page in case people missed it. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Natasha, for having me.
Professor Nicola Yelland from Victoria University, and the book we were discussing is Early Mathematical Explorations. I'll pop a post up on our Facebook page just to get some ideas from you about how you're building a passion for numbers for your children, or some of the difficulties that you've had doing that.